800 miles away from Philippi. Yes, I found it on Google Maps. So nowadays, you can fly there and be at Rome from Philippi in about 5.5 hours. Or you could drive, and it would take around 20 hours. Pretty long journey. I once went on a school trip from Coventry to Krakow. That was 20 hours on a coach. It wasn't a fun journey, and it was a little bit smelly, to say the least, by the time we got there. Surprisingly enough, Epaphroditus couldn't get on a coach full of tired and grumpy year nines, nor could he get on a plane and relax in business class with an eye mask and some nice food. Is that what happens, Cassidy, in business class? So for him, he would have mainly travelled on foot, and it would have taken around 6 weeks over treacherous terrain. It's quite a journey. So why did he do that? Epaphroditus bought Paul the money that he needed to buy everything he needed to survive. For those of you that don't know, I work in a prison, and prisons in our country at this time are quite different. So family and friends do send in money, which is used to buy mainly vapes, snacks, some chocolate, some soap. And it's important, but it's not needed for survival. If somebody hasn't got money sent in, they will be grumpy that they haven't got any vapes, but they will survive because they are given food, clothing, bedding by the prison. However, in old Paul's day, if the church hadn't sent him any money, he wouldn't have eaten. He wouldn't have ultimately survived because the prison provided nothing. So Epaphroditus' visit was crucial. But he didn't just go and give him gifts and turn around and start the 6 weeks journey back home again, which I'm sure he was keen to get to. He stayed with Paul and he ministered to him and he worked alongside him in spreading the gospel. Paul refers to him as brother, co-worker, and fellow soldier. Other people he refers to in this high regard, we see in Romans, Priscilla and Aquila, Timothy. In Corinthians, he talks about Apollos and Titus this way. And we see him in Philemon, talking about Philemon, and Mark and Luke in this way. Now, these are some pretty important people in the establishment of the early church. I'd like to class them as the Hall of Fame. So, in his time with Paul, he became sick and he almost died. News reached the church in Philippi that he was sick and then came back to them and Paul that they were worried about him. This greatly distressed him, and Paul is now sending him home with this letter, the book of Philippians. So why does Paul hold him in such high regard? Well, verse 30 tells us he was willing to put his life on the line and as a result nearly died for the advancement of the gospel. In doing this, he's behaving like Jesus, the one who ultimately sacrificed his life for ours, which is quite a challenge. I wonder if this is something I'm willing to do. Is it something you're willing to do? It would seem it's something Epaphroditus is willing to do. So why did he do this? Because he knows, as Paul talked about earlier in Philippians, that to live is Christ and to die is gain. And he's living a life imitating Jesus, who we saw earlier in the chapter, in being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. So there's a lot to be said about Paul and Epaphroditus' willingness to serve God, to put others above themselves for the advancement of the gospel. And I'd encourage you to listen to Paul Harrison's talk last week, if you haven't heard it, or again, if you have, to hear more about this. But today, I want to look at Epaphroditus becoming sick and what that means for us today. We can assume that Epaphroditus was sick for a very long time. It was long enough for the church 800 miles away to hear about it, for that news to then come back to them in Rome, that they knew he was sick and he was worried. Paul doesn't allow any space for judgment of him being sick in these verses. He doesn't say, thanks for sending him. It's a shame he became unwell. Here you go, have him back. He's no use to me now. Maybe next time could you send me someone a little bit stronger who's not going to get ill when I'm trying to work? No, he makes it clear that the church should not only not blame him, but honour him for his service. There's no hint of it being Epaphroditus' fault for being sick here. So, 2 points I want to make here. Doing God's work doesn't mean we won't get sick. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can be very naive. And I can go down the path of thinking, God has called me to this thing. It won't be easy to do, but I'm not going to get sick. God's going to protect me, right? Actually, the Bible tells us again and again that we will suffer in this life. So it's a cheerful message today, guys. It's something you can guarantee is you will suffer. And secondly, being ill doesn't mean that God can't use us for the advancement of his kingdom. Paul makes it clear that Epaphroditus is to be honoured as he has been working alongside him. Epaphroditus didn't give up and go home when he got sick. Paul didn't say, you're no use to me now. He didn't give up the next day, or the next when he was still unwell. He kept doing God's work. The fact that he was named, and I said as before, has joined this hall of fame of brothers, co-workers and soldiers, shows that he had an important part in spreading the gospel. These verses are loaded with emotion. Paul is a man who trusts God. He talks earlier in the letter about to die is Christ and to live is gain. But when faced with the possibility of his friend dying, he talks about sorrow upon sorrow. He is filled with anxiety, knowing that the church in Philippi are feeling the same way. And so instead of thinking about his needs and how it benefits him to have Epaphroditus there with him, serving him and helping him, he says, no, you need to go so that they too can be spared from the sorrow, that they can rejoice and be glad that you are well. Becoming more like Christ does not eliminate our human emotions. There's a contrast between Paul's reaction here and the statement, to live is Christ, to die is gain, which we can easily forget about. And then at times feel confused and deeply upset when we or our loved ones are facing sickness. Feeling sorrow when someone is very ill isn't a sign that you don't trust God enough. It's a sign that you're human. And Paul is an example of that. However, on this occasion, Epaphroditus was healed because of the mercy of God. It says God's mercy spared Epaphroditus and also spared Paul of the sorrow and heartbreak it would have been to lose his friend. We do not deserve healing. And God doesn't owe us healing, but he is a merciful God. And sometimes we are healed. I want to do something a little bit different here to wake you up. I would like to hear if anyone here has ever been healed. I'm going to invite you up to share. It can be a small story. It can be a big story. I think it would be good to hear from some people who have been healed or who have prayed for someone who has been healed before.
So a few years ago, August 2019, I started having some weird abdominal pains. Thought it was probably something hormonal, maybe the GPs thought it was something to do with my stomach, all sorts of things. GP appointments every week, pretty much for about 3 months before my mum came up to university, saw me and was like, I am getting you an ultrasound appointment tomorrow or something like that. She's charged into the GP office and they listened. So I had the ultrasound scan and at that point they found something like 12 or 13 centimeter long cyst, they called it back then. On one of my ovaries, went in for a CT scan the following week, That cyst was now 18 centimetres long. Didn't think it was a cyst anymore. I was due to then, that was like November time. I was then due, according to the doctors, to get an operation sometime in the new year. I went in for like a pre-op appointment on the Monday, early December. And they, even up until about an hour before that appointment, they were going to give me the date sometime like 8th or 9th of Jan or something like that. It was like a month later for the appointment, the operation. And then they'd said, oh, but actually in the last hour we've had a cancellation for this Sunday, which is the day before my birthday. Woo! So I was able to have the operation then, praise God. And then the surgeon came in to speak with me the next day once I'd come round off of the anaesthetic, which was a whirlwind in itself. And the surgeon came in to just tell me how it all went. And I assumed by the fact that I was still alive and well, it went well. But she came in to just give me some details. And she said that they were going to just check up on me every few months now because the cyst, or the tumor, as we now know it was on the verge of rupturing as they were taking it out of my abdomen. And like from that moment onwards, I was just like, praise the Lord, because who actually knows how that could have gone if it had stayed inside of me for any amount longer. And obviously that was such a joy to be healed physically, but also throughout this whole time, I think I was spending more of my time calming my parents, calming my friends around me, being like, it's okay, God's in control. And like anyone who knows me knows that I like to be in control. So I was just stunned by the peace God gave me during that time as well. And so, that's an encouragement that he can heal, but also he can bring you peace in those scary moments as well.
Thank you. Oh, yeah, go on. I was just giving you the mic, but you can share.
So I don't know if you remember, but December last year, I started getting headaches. And headaches that they were just all the time. And it was really wearing, and pain is really tiring. And I had blood tests, and I had scans, and there was no evident thing that was causing it. We did get to the point where it was probably caused by tension, and I had some sports massages, and that seemed to have helped. But at that point, was working for MotoFest, and the previous MotoFest, which was in June 2020, I can't remember what year we were in, 2023. Yes, I had a migraine, and so the worked really hard all day Saturday, woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning, really awful migraine, and meant that on Sunday I had to take the early bit of the morning really, really slowly, wasn't really able to kind of engage in all the stuff, managed to rope Stephen in to go and run around and put signs up and all various other things. So I was quite concerned then that MotoFest this year, where actually I was involved in an extra day, would be a thing that would set my headaches off again, basically. But about 8 weeks before MotoFest, I think it was, my headaches had stopped. And as I say, I'm not entirely sure why, but, you know, God is good. So I did MotoFest. And for the entire weekend, I did not have a single headache, even in the hot sunshine, even having worked my socks off for 3 days running really long hours, much longer than I normally do. My head was absolutely fine. About a week and a half later, headaches came back, but have since gone. But I really felt like it was God sustaining me through that. And the other thing about the kind of having a headache for a really long time was that previously when I have been ill, I have wallowed and not felt that I've handled it in the best, most, you know, Hall of Famey kind of a way. Whereas this time, I just felt, like the whole way through, even being ill, I felt God sustaining me through that. And that it was horrible. I never want to repeat that, but I know that God was with me.
Last shout. Oh, go on.
I think some of you have heard this before, so I'll keep it really short. I was ill for about 5 years. I essentially lost the use of my right hand, which was tricky because I do a lot of things with computers. And then towards the end, I started to lose the use of my left hand. I was doing a job that I knew that God had called me into. I was doing it in the way that God had called me to do it. And I was sufficiently ill that at some points I was considering, you know, maybe I just need to chop off my hand. You know, maybe I need to find a way to get rid of this pain. All the way through it, I was praying and I kept a prayer diary. And from very early on, God said, healing is coming. And what followed is 5 years of me keeping a prayer diary of, okay, when? And over that time, I saw doctors, I saw lots of other people, had all kinds of tests, all kind of medication, nothing really worked. And so it became harder and harder to believe that healing was coming. And then after about 5 years, healing arrived. And when it arrived, the whole thing took about 2 weeks. And I went from couldn't use my right hand, could barely use my left hand, to completely healed and never gone back. So I don't know if there's a moral to that story other than you can be where God puts you and still ill. I'm ill at the moment. God told me to come up and share. Thought it was ironic. But also, if he says healing is coming, healing is coming. And healing in God's way, which is not, you know, managed plan. When God says healing is coming, if he wills it that way, it will just be gone.
Thank you. Through God's mercy, we are healed. I want to talk about sometimes we get sick again, and sometimes we're not healed. On the back of those stories of being healed, and I think we saw a bit of a theme in there of sometimes you're not completely healed as well. When I was a young teenager, I was diagnosed with a condition that means I faint a lot and I get dizzy a lot. I won't go into the specifics, but in simple English, it means, my explanation is I've got an overdramatic heart, basically. Something triggers it. Yay for the hearts. Something triggers it. So if I'm in pain, if I've not eaten enough, if I'm standing, which is why you will always see me pacing if I'm standing still, stress, heat. So then my blood pressure drops and my heart rate drops and I hit the deck. So at the start, I was fainting at least once a week and having regular pre-fainting feelings, so dizziness, lightheadedness, stomach pain. It's not a terminal illness, and it's not particularly dangerous, but it was really inconvenient and exhausting. What then came with it was a lot of anxiety about going places by myself. Before this, I was a very independent child who wanted to do things my way, in my time, on my own. And one of the most frustrating things about this was no longer having control over my own body. I was on medication for it, which helped a bit, but I was still fainting and then having side effects from the medication. My parents were praying, my church family, a lot of you were praying, and I was praying, but I wasn't healed. 2 years after I received the diagnosis, I was at New Day in 2018, and it was a very hot year. I was struggling to stay in any of the meetings without fainting, so I was sat outside for most of them. It was healing night, and a girl went on the stage, and she started telling the story of how she was healed the previous year. She had the exact same condition as me, and it had been impacting her in similar ways, but now she was completely healed. My youth group and leaders came and found me and started praying for me. Now, to my youth leader, Joe Rabone's horror, I stopped taking my medication that day. But I didn't faint for the rest of the week, or the next, or the next. In fact, I didn't faint for the next year. However, around 2 years after that, I was now at university in Birmingham doing my nursing training, and I started fainting again. I was devastated. I was told I could no longer do the placement I was on. And in my slightly overdramatic mind, I thought, this is it. I can't become a nurse. I can't do anything. I spoke to my cardiologist and I was started on a new medication. And this one, the side effects were worse. I put on a lot of weight and it affected my immune system, resulting in me constantly being ill. However, despite these troubles, I did qualify as a nurse, and I've now completed my first year as a qualified nurse. So now, I'm still fainting, but it's not as bad as it used to be, and I thank God for that. God is merciful and healed me and enabled me to qualify and work. But I'm still unwell. But I still trust God. I know he is using me and will use me for his glory. In the verses we've been looking at today, through God's mercy, Epaphroditus was healed from death and he became well. But mercy doesn't always mean we become 100% better. And God's mercy doesn't mean we are always healed. I want to share a short story of, I'll see if I can do it without crying. At Easter this year, my dear friend's mum passed away after several years of being unwell. We had been praying for her for years and she had been suffering for years. At the end of her life, she was really restricted in her mobility. She couldn't eat or drink. She was in and out of hospital constantly. She was a faithful woman of God. She was a Paul and Epaphroditus-like woman, constantly putting others' needs above her own. God's mercy took her out of her suffering and took her home. Was she not healed because our God is no longer merciful? No. Our prayers for her suffering to end were answered by her, but not by her being healed on earth. Yes, there is extreme comfort and joy in knowing that she is in a fully restored body, basking in God's glory now. But it isn't just as simple as saying, to live is Christ and to die is gain. There is a deep sorrow felt by her family, her husband, her daughters, and her friends. I can't tell you why God heals some and not others, or heals us and we become sick again. But I can tell you that he is a merciful and loving God, whose ways are greater than ours. We've heard today that doing God's work may result in death, or we may become unwell while doing it. But we should not give up on healing because we haven't been healed yet. Just as Pete, I'm just going to call you Paul, there's too many Pauls here. Just as Pete was saying, for 5 years he prayed. Yeah, if we have not been healed yet, we can stand firm, and I'm saying this for myself as well, knowing that God is merciful, and even if we don't experience it on earth, our bodies will be fully restored on the new earth, and they won't get sick, and they won't break. 2 Corinthians 5 says, we know that our body, the tent we live in here on earth, will be destroyed, but when that happens, God will have a house for us. It will not be a house made by human hands. Instead, it will be a home in heaven forever. But when we groan in this tent, we want God to give us our heavenly home because it will clothe us so we will not be naked. While we live in this body, we have burdens and we groan. We do not want to be naked, but we want to be clothed with our heavenly home. Then this body that dies will be fully covered with life. This is what God has made us for, and he has given us the Spirit to be a guarantee for this new life. Sorry, I've changed the slide. So we always have courage. We know that while we live in this body, we are away from the Lord. We live by what we believe, not by what we can see. So I say that we have courage. It's by God's mercy we are healed, so I want us to pray again today for God's mercy. I would like to invite anyone who is struggling with sickness to raise their hands, and we are going to gather around you and pray for you. I particularly feel called to pray for people who have been struggling with sickness for a long time, whether that is physical or mental, but also if it's a new thing, we want to pray for you. The same God who healed Epaphroditus is the God that we worship today. I'm going to ask the band to come and play some background music. Can I ask you to step out in faith and raise your hand now if you would like to have some prayer, some healing? Thank you.